Welcome to Report Out's Hidden Voices podcasts from around the globe. Report Out is a human rights research organisation and charity based in the UK. Report Out monitors, researches and documents the lived experiences of sexual and gender minority people and their communities in different nation states. We use this information to educate others on the lived experiences of sexual and gender minorities and to campaign and push for social change across the globe. You may notice that we use the term SOGSC, which means sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, and sex characteristics. Why do this? Because it's a culturally sensitive umbrella term to cover all sexual and gender minorities. These interviews will consist of SOGSC individuals who live in different nation states, and whilst we'll be discussing the barriers that they face, we will also highlight how they find resistance to them. Welcome to our Hidden Voices podcasts.
Hi, my name is Abby. I am a human rights education officer here at Report Out in Gateshead. In today's podcast, we have Shamil. He will be talking about life in Pakistan living as a gay man. Hi, Shamil.
Hi, how are you?
I am very well, thank you.
So my name is Shamil and I am 31 years old. I am originally from Pakistan. I'm currently studying, doing my master's from Germany. And by profession, I'm a data engineer. I have three siblings, one brother, two sisters. One of my sister and my brother, they live in UK. My other sister and my parents, they're in Pakistan. And that was it.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you. When you were living in Pakistan, when did you actually come out to, whether that was friends or family? Who did you tell first, or what's your experience there?
Okay, so I think I was 26 years of age, and first person who I came out to was my sister, who is in Pakistan. And I always had planned on doing that, but it didn't really turn out as I wanted it, because the situation had turned out and I just had to do it at that time. And eventually I also came out to my mother and then to the rest of my family. I never spoke to my father about it directly, but obviously, eventually we did, but my sister and my mother, they were the one who I directly came out to, and never spoke to my brother about it. I'm not even sure he knows it or not. He's not here, so we never really had that or chance of talking about that. So
that was when you were 26. Did you say you were 31 now?
I am 31 now, yes.
31 now. So do you feel like now that they're quite supportive of your sexual preference, or?
I mean, so it's kind of complicated. It's not like they're hostile, but they're not also, it's something that is against our culture, our religion. So they can't just accept it, something that they've never, heard of or understood of. Or even, had the idea. So, accepting it, it's not really, I don't know, was there an option. So, but it's not like they're, against it. But it's something that I would say that they're not able to comprehend. And, in a way, they're, they're not for it, obviously. They still would say things like you should still find, something more conventional, for my lifestyle, find a girl, get married, and eventually have kids and that.
Yeah.
And there have been times where I try to explain that's not how, because also, how mothers, they're always thinking for the children in the best way possible, but it's not always the best thing in reality. So my mother thinks that, getting married or with being with a woman change things. And I try to explain that's not how it works. I've done my side of research. I've had my experiences, and it doesn't work like that. But, you know, she's still really persisted upon the idea that I would do it, get, you know, married with a woman, and she believes things will change for me.
Do you think it's fair to say she thinks this is sort of like a phase that you're going through and she believes that you'll change in the future?
Obviously, it's not fair. It's not for me. It's not fair also for her, I would say.
Yeah.
So a lot of people I talk to, they would, you know, tend to pick a side. But at this point, this is something which I don't think, this is a very unfortunate thing that happens.
Yeah.
It's not, I won't say that it's their fault. I won't say it's my fault. It's something that, you know, occurred. Nobody was prepared for it. We, you know, as a society had never been educated about such stuff. So, and, you know, just bombarding something like that on to them with this idea, with this something which is very new, which is very much against their own beliefs, their whole life. You know, parents are old. They have lived all their lives with a certain ideology. And then all of a sudden you just come up with something which is completely opposite. So you can't just expect them to understand it or accept it. So it's rather unfortunate. It's definitely unfair for both sides, not just, I would say, me or the other people.
Yeah, I understand that. So you say that religion and your culture plays a part in how they think, basically, and their beliefs. What is it like in Pakistan with the culture and religion in regards to like the LGBTQ community?
Generally, it's more a Muslim majority.
Mm-hmm.
And culturally, I guess you would understand if I say like South Asian culture, how it's like. I think it's no different than in India or Bangladesh or Pakistan, culture-wise. But Pakistan plays a special role with religion as well, because it's mostly Muslim. And over the time, it actually grew more in power. So such ideas of, you know, different sexualities and... on some part, I would say women empowerment kind of are downplayed. And obviously this has impacted for people falling in those categories to come up to talk about their feelings or express themselves. It has been quite challenging, yeah. So, but you know, with the help of social media, people now are more bold, I would say. They're rather more open about their perspective, their ideas, but still in general, when you're out on the streets, it's quite different. It's still very much the same as it was, I would say, 10 or 20 years ago. And you can't really just speak out loud about sexualities or different... ideas about God, you know, or its existence. You can't question about that. So these things are still quite taboo from those perspectives.
Are the laws in Pakistan sort of embedded by religion? Are they sort of taken from? Are you Muslim? Did you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just culture, it's also religion. Every time when you bring these topic up, especially about the sexuality, homosexuality, they always have this history from religion, this something that took place in the past, apparently, I'm not completely... familiar with the idea, but there's this story where they say that the whole society was destroyed because this whole community was practicing homosexuality. And whenever somebody brings that up, so the opposite party would bring this story and say that if you practice SW, you will also be punished in a similar manner because they were destroyed by God because of that. So you can't really fight them because they always have, you know, faith is something that is very hard to challenge because they do not follow logic all the time. It's just faith. There's no right or wrong. It is what it is. Yeah. And when it comes to these things and when you have such stories in your benefit, in my case, it's against. So it's hard to fight. It's hard to explain to them, regardless of those historical events that took place, you know, allegedly. You cannot explain to them the reality of your own existence. You cannot explain to them this is happening because of nature. This is not a choice. This is not fun for us. So, yeah, in that sense, it's very challenging.
Yeah, they just see one way, their way sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in Pakistan, have you ever experienced any hate towards you because of your sexual preference, or do you know anyone that has?
So in my personal case, I have always been very careful. I am even open to my family and few close friends or colleagues, but I have never been, you know, publicly open or discussed about that. So I can't say that I faced hatred because I never let that happen to me. I was always careful. But yeah, I can say that I probably know some people, or I have heard stories where, you know, such people have faced backlash from the society, from people, families and friends even. And to what extent, that really depends on individual families or societies rather. Because some societies are rather more accepting, some are rather more extreme, where they will actually may attack you as well. Or there are some societies where they will just frown upon it, but then they will just ignore it because they wouldn't care enough to do something about it. So,
Is that what's known as haram? Is that when it's sort of frowned upon, and is that right?
Sorry, what's the question?
Is that, you know, when it's sort of frowned upon, is that known as haram in the Quran? Is that right?
Haram. Of course, yes. So there's this concept in our religion and Islam that certain things are, I guess the English word would be illegal from religious perspective, which are allowed or not allowed to do. So there are certain kinds of meat that you can or cannot consume. And such meat that you cannot consume from religious perspective, it's haram. There are also such activities which you're not supposed to do, also considered haram, which is consuming alcohol. And also this homosexuality is also haram. So yeah, this is considered haram.
Okay, thank you. What about support in Pakistan? And I know obviously what you've said, there doesn't sound like there's much, but is there any, did you have friends in Pakistan, or did you have any underground groups that you were able to seek support from, anything like that?
So there are two things. There are friends, then there are support groups. I know there are organizations which are working for the LGBT community, or in your case, SOGI people. That's how you call it. I never reached out to them, though, because in my personal case, I did face mental pressure personally, also from, I would say, I mean, there was lack of support from family and support and friends, but there wasn't really a need for me to reach out to support groups. I was able to handle it. It's not fun. It's not easy, but I think I am doing okay.
Yeah. Do you think, did you move to Germany for any reason to be more open, or did you just move to Germany because that's where you wanted to do your master's?
That's a very good question. And partially, yes. Before moving to Germany, I was actually, I was working, and before I was doing master's, I was working for a while, for a few years. And then I had this job where I was required to travel to Europe in Portugal. And that was my first, I'd say, international exposure and Europe as well. And I was there for a year. And so it's not just because of my sexuality, it's also other things, the quality of life in general, I'd say, here, especially in my city, not the entire country, I would say, but in my city, it's rather hard with all the transport problems and facilities from the government. It's not really good. So it's not just that. But yeah, in my case, this is also a very much reason to move to a place where I can be, you know, open.
Yeah, but it must
eventually
be nice.
Yeah, of course, because you get the peace, you know, the mental peace. You know that you have the choice to express if you want to. It's not like here I am, you know, dying to scream out about myself, but I know that I cannot do it. And I also know that if I do it, there will be problems. But when I'm not here and I'm out in a different country, like where it's more accepting, I know if I can do it and nobody would care about it, they would just say he's some crazy guy screaming about it, but they don't care about it. So yeah, that kind of you know, feeling, that the feeling of acceptability, I don't know what's the word, but that feeling, personally for me, that is missing in a big amount. I always have felt that I haven't really been accepted for my own self, for what I am, for what I feel. And when I'm out there, I feel that I am.
Yeah.
And yes, so
I was going to say, I bet it is nice being in Germany and being open and free of who you are, and you can be your true self. But then obviously it's probably not, it is nice going back to Pakistan and actually being with your family, but you're not being the same person, are you? It's not fair that you can't be yourself either way.
It's quite a bittersweet feeling. So both times when I was in Portugal and I had to come back, and also now when I was in Germany and I had to come back, it was a bittersweet feeling. I love my family. I know they love me. I know they care about me. It's not just in the, you know, way I want it. It's in the way they feel it's good for me. So that's where things kind of get difficult. So you can't really, you know, hate them for not understanding them. Because you can't really hate them for not understanding you, but because you know they're trying and they want good for you. But it's not what it is. And and also it's your family, so it's nice to go back to them, to spend time with them. But spending time away from them, I realize it's better this way, because the more close you are, the more interactions you have, then the more discussions take place and the more arguments take place, and things get rather more difficult. And I don't know if you know, but here in the South Asia, the culture is where it's more families live more close, more together, you know, and they tend to live together even with the parents. It's very different, like in the West or in the Europe, where a kid grows up and he's expected to move out.
Yeah.
Do things on his own. Here it's rather opposite. Here it's the children, boys especially, they're expected to stay in the same household and also take care of the parents, even, you know, when they get married and have children, and that's the system here. So if you move out for whatever reason and you're leaving your parents behind, it's not considered very good and for in your favor, and you're frowned upon. But then, you know, these have living together are have their own problems, because the more close you are, the more interactions take place. So it if you're lucky, you know, a straight man, the interactions will be rather delightful. But if anything different, then those can be anything, good and bad as well. So in my case, I'm not straight. So I had bad interactions. With time, they grew worse. And then I realized, okay, I think it's time for me to spend some time away. So these are all the reasons that I chose, okay, maybe I needed to move out, not just from the country. It's also away from my parents to take some time for myself and give some time also, to have some distance, and maybe that way we can have both time to think over the situation and maybe relax a bit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, all those reasons have been there for me to choose to go out and be in Germany.
Yeah, I think you've made the best decision for yourself at the end of the day and for your mental health. You've, like you said, you can go back and see your family, even though it's bittersweet. You've got your life in Germany now. And I'm guessing that's something you'll be looking up to in the future. You won't necessarily be going back to live in Pakistan full time.
Yeah, because also, especially boys, are expected to take care of the family and the parents. But I just felt, and I always had been feeling that if I don't take care of my own self first, I won't be able to take care of the rest of the people, even if they're my own parents. Because I wasn't mentally doing okay. It's not like I was diagnosed with anything. I did went to a psychologist. That's a different story. But I was never really diagnosed with any mental problems, but I could always feel that there's something going on which is not usual or not normal. And I need to do something about it. And I think it was at least giving myself some peace in all ways possible.
Yeah.
To release some stress. And I was getting stress from, all directions. My workload was high. My family was giving me stress from this, personal life. So, there wasn't really any balance. When you have workload, you have stress from there, then, mostly you go home, you can have some time for yourself and you release your stress. But in our cases, you go home and you know that you're going into an environment which you don't really like, because there can be discussions which you don't really want to take place. So the stress was never going away. So, yeah, so in that sense, I decided I need to take some time away from everything. So I quit my job. I moved out and decided to do something which can be beneficial in the long term for me. So I decided, okay, studies, I think I can resume. It will be good for me in the long term. It will be good. I will be away from the family problems, and the workload will go away as well. And it did. And I think it was quite a decision, because everybody was, I had a good job actually. So everybody was saying to me, are you sure you want to quit your job? You are in a very nice position, nice company, and doing very well in all those aspects. So do you think it's a good idea to just burn all those bridges and go? And it made me question, is it good or not good? But I think now, when I look back, I think it's the best decision, because I don't have that stress from any of all those places. No work pressure, no family pressure. I started to focus on myself again. I started to practice things that I always wanted but never found time for, which is focusing on trying new things like music or some sporty things like canoeing or swimming. I never had time to do any of those things. And now I have. I'm studying, but I also have time for those things. So
I think you're definitely right with what you're saying. I mean, you need to self-care before you can help anyone else as well. And from what you're telling me, I think you've made an absolute right decision.
Yeah, and So yeah, I mean, in the end, I am glad with all the decisions I made. Money was never important. How can it be when your health is deteriorating inside, you know? So money doesn't really matter at that point. You start to realize you need to be stable first, mentally, and be happy. Or happy is a rather, I think it's more a blanket term. I think peace at mind is rather what I was looking for. And I sought that. Now I think I have it. So yeah, I did all that, what I thought is good for me, and I'm glad I did. And I'm not sure what will, you know, how things will take place now. But I'm just trying to make better decisions, you know, every day, with all the aspects, taking my family into consideration, myself as well. So, yeah.
No, that's brilliant. Can I just ask you one more thing, Shamil? If someone will be listening to this from Pakistan, what advice would you give them, and if they wanted to come out to their family, or they just wanted to seek some support, what advice would you give them, having been in the situation yourself?
So the advice that I have, I've always wanted to say it to people, and I know it's not easy, but I did it, and the thing is to come out, talk about it, and just say, let's not just give in to the society pressure, to the pressure of the society, you know, because I know a lot of people, a lot of men here who get married because, I mean, they're gay, but they get married because they cannot face their parents. They do not have the heart to come out to the family. They also have the pressure from the society. And I know, and I understand it. I know that they will face the backlash. It can affect their job. It can affect their, you know, not everybody is going to be as easy, you know, in terms of situation. My situation wasn't easy, but it wasn't the worst. But I know that there have been situations and stories where people, or the kids rather, they were kicked out, or they were even, you know, mentally or physically rather abused. I don't want them to get into that. But to fight it, I think it's the best thing is to talk about it, to come out, and not to give in to the pressure of society and just get married and have kids, and then, you know, hooking up with other guys on the side. That's not the right thing to do. And but they do it because it's the easy way out. It's unethical for me, in my opinion, but it's the easy way people do it. I could have done it, but at one point, you know, I actually said to my mother, I agreed, because she was emotionally so much, she was deteriorating as well because of me, because she is very close to me and she loves me the most in all of our children. And me having some of these problems, it wasn't easy for her as much as, you know, same as with me. It was difficult for both of us. And she strongly felt that if I get married, things will change. I will be happy. I will eventually, you know, start loving my, you know, future wife or something. I will have kids. I will be busy, and things will eventually be fine. That was her idea, and that's many mothers' idea. I know that, but I've seen so many guys. I know so many stories where things turn out in the worst possible way I can imagine. And the wives find out because the guys, they cannot stop from, you know, doing what they were doing before. They cannot stop dating or having, you know, hookups with guys. And eventually the wives find out, and then they expose them in the most insulting way possible to the entire family, and things turn for the worse. They go really bad. They go south very bad, very fast. And it's not just that, it's not just the matter of being insulted. It's also, you know, for me, you're doing wrong for the woman as well. You're actually ruining another woman's life because you don't know. You're kind of cheating, you know, it's also cheating. And so, you know, in many ways, it's wrong, unethical, and I could never bring myself to do that. Even though my, you know, my mom would request me to just agree to get married because that's what her belief was, that I would change and things will change for me. And she was like, you know, so emotional about it. At one point, my sister said to me, if you don't say what your mother is saying, you and if something happens to her, it will be your fault. And at that point, I was thinking, I can't let that happen. I mean, all I was doing was to not hurt, you know, other person because of me or my sexuality by not marrying. But at the same time, I was hurting my mom. She's also some person who I'm hurting. And that was the dilemma I was in. And at that point, at one point, I decided, okay, maybe I should do it. I went home to my mom and I said, okay, I will do it. And she was ecstatic, she was happy, and she cried out of happiness. And I remember the next day I was driving to some place, and was in the evening, and I was just thinking about all this, that I said yes, now eventually I'll be married, and I was just thinking of what my future would be like then. And it started to be funny to me. I started laughing, but then I started crying, and because whatever was happening in my life was becoming something that I couldn't control. It was, I was losing it basically, and I did that for about 30 seconds, and the next moment I just stopped, and I realized what is happening, and I just realized I can't let myself live like that for the entire life. I can't let this happen to me. What I did, what I agreed upon, isn't. I didn't feel like it's going to be a good thing. And eventually, I said no. I said to my mother, I cannot do it. I'm sorry. Obviously, it hurt her. And but like I said before, if I am not happy myself, I can't make anybody happy, whoever it is. And so my message to, you know, the people, the guys of the Pakistan is just, at least talk about it, and to your, you know, who are you comfortable with, and try to, you know, and create a conversation. There is no conversation at this point, which is why people are afraid, because it's a black box at this point. Nobody knows what it is. Everybody is scared. It's like a negative thing. So I think, you know, building up conversations with your family, your friends, I think they will have questions for you. You can have answers, and you can also clear things up maybe. So yeah, that's the message. I mean, I think you should come out. Don't give in to the pressure, and don't do what many men have done already. It's not the right thing. It's not a good thing. You should not be, you know, be the kind of person who is okay with this unethical behavior. It's very unethical to me. Yeah, you know, I'm just stand up for what you are. Make them understand. And this is how the next gen, and yeah, that's another thing. This is, don't just do it for yourself. Do it for the upcoming generation. Make it easy for them. Build a platform for them where they may be able to have some examples to look up to, be a good one, a good example. that is my message to the people of my country.
Thank you, Shamil. I loved how you were talking about the next generation as well. I think that's great. I think I agree. It's very important. I think that's great advice as well. I think the viewers that will be listening to this, I hope it helps them hearing your story and your life in Pakistan. Thank you for joining us today, Shamil. It's been great talking with you, and we appreciate you taking some time out to tell us about your life in Pakistan.
If you would like to get involved with the work of Report Out, please visit our main website at www.reportout.org, where you can subscribe to our regular email distribution list, which allows you to get exclusive access to our latest and exciting news, blogs, and projects. You can even donate to us to ensure that our work continues. We're also on all social media platforms, so please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn for regular updates on SOGSC human rights across the globe. Lastly, Report Out would like to give a huge thanks to all of our podcast interviewees and listeners for their valuable time and support. Your voices are no longer hidden, and when voices come together, they make us stronger as a movement.